I know this isn't the way you want to start the show.
Oh, boy.
But if something happened to Alicia, right?
Like what?
Well, you know, she was no longer around.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Terrible. I told you. But follow me here.
Okay.
How long would it be before you started dating somebody else?
Oh, my God.
Or
like, what are you doing?
Would you never, ever date somebody else ever again?
I don't know. I think that you never know until you're in that situation. So my stepmother, I mean, my father, I lost him years ago. And my stepmother has never dated anybody since.
Right.
And she's a young woman. And I actually told her, I was like, you know, I was like, just so you know, like, I mean, I would understand. I get like, I think dad would want you to be happy.
Yeah.
You know, the whole keeps you young.
Exactly. So this whole comes up because Terry Irwin, that's the widow of Crocodile Hunter Steve Irwin.
Okay.
And now I like follow that family, the Irwin family. I'm fascinated by them. Mm. Their daughter, Bindi, is just this beautiful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And she's married now. She has a baby. She's helped running the Australian Zoo, all of it. So like, I've kind of always been drawn
close to them. Thank you for the full
them.
Update.
If you haven't been stalking them on Instagram like I do constantly, I just love that family. And it bothered me when Steve Irwin passed away because it was so tragic when, you know, it was the stingray sting.
They always seem very happy and in love and very into what they were doing. Yes.
So he passed away in 2006 and they were married for 14 years at that point. Mm. And she says, he was my one and only. I will never get married again. I will never be in a relationship again. He was the only man I'll ever love. And like your stepmother, she's young.
Yeah.
And I think about that all the time. It's like, and my mother-in-law, when she lost my father-in-law, same thing. She never remarried. She never did anything.
Sure.
But I wonder, like, do you? Don't you? What's the criteria? How does that happen?
There's a survivor's guilt and a familiarity that you're sad. And I think a lot of times you feel like you're betraying the memory of somebody. I've actually heard people say this about pets. They'll be like, I loved a pet so much that when that pet passed away, it was so tragic for me that I miss them all the time. Mm-hmm. I miss those times, but I never got another one because they said I just didn't want to go through that process again.
I had this conversation with my husband.
Yeah.
Not about the pets, but I said, like, if something ever happened to me, I want you to find somebody quickly and remarry. And
quickly?
Like, yeah. Not like the next week.
Quickly?
But, you know, I want my girls to have a woman in their lives that they can talk to and they can go to and all that kind of stuff.
Wow, you had a heavy Friday night, huh?
Well, I'm just saying, I told him that. And then he looked at me and he's like, well, I don't know if I could say the same for you. And I said to him, don't worry. Because when you go, if you go before me, I go, I don't ever want to deal with another guy again. I want to be by myself for the rest of my life, and I will be 100% fine. And I don't know if he took that the right way or the wrong way.
I mean,
he seemed settled with the answer.
I'm
he
not sure that's
it.
Love is all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, I'm good after that. I've had a long run. Things have been fine. I could wrap it up and call it a day.
I'm going to nap and watch whatever I want on television.
Can you imagine?
I thought I heard you say that too.
Oh, gosh. It'll be so good.
Did you just kill your husband? Stop.
I know. But if something should happen, I'm just saying. 48.3 million people will be traveling over the next couple days.
Wow.
And I have no idea how AAA even knows that. Like, you think it's make up a number? It's not like they poll people on Facebook and like people respond, right?
Is anybody on the side of the road counting to be like, no, you guys missed it this time.
You're off by 13,000. All right. So the best times to leave, because traffic is supposed to be a nightmare. This is 4 million people more than traveled last year.
I mean, if there's nothing I can stand less, and traffic is the worst. We have an advantage. The hours that we drive, it's weird. It's different.
Yep.
So we usually make out well. I'm made so much worse by just sitting in traffic because of that.
Yep. So best times to leave after 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So Wednesday night after 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. or before 11 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day, because people are usually where they're supposed to be at that point.
OK.
Worst times to leave between 1 and 3 tomorrow. So Wednesday between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. are like the absolute worst times you're supposed to leave your house. I got a text from my best friend Danielle about a few hours ago. They're doing the long drive. They're driving to Chicago, which I think is insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long drive, right?
Yeah.
And she said they've been dead stop for 2.5 hours because of a crash. And I was like, how are you staying awake? She said Snickers bars.
That was my best road trip candy. Snickers bars and Coca-Cola. That'll get you all the way across the nation.
But regardless of where you go, for the most part, you're probably going to get stuck in traffic at some point if you're going an extended period. So we're thinking about it. And we're like, there's certain people you see stuck in traffic all the time.
Every
and you
time.
Can't help but stare.
Yeah, every time. So, I mean, when you're looking at, like, you know, Thanksgiving Day traffic or whatever, you know that you're going to see the guy that's got the Black Friday shopper thing going on. He's got like an 85-inch television on top of a compact car. And it's like raining or bad weather or something, you know, and the guy just couldn't wait. He's like, oh, no, no, they're doing the sale today. They're doing it already. Like, he could not wait to get that television.
My favorite is the sticker car. They just have many bumper
stickers.
So
many stickers.
They've ran every marathon.
Yes.
They've got those black and white stickers with the three letters, and then you got to guess where it's from.
Right.
And you're like, NWT. Is it Newport?
Right.
Maybe Newton? Is Newton a place?
Are they swearing at me?
Right. What
like, you don't
say?
Even know. Like, you're like, is that one supposed to be ironic?
Mm-hmm.
Because they just can't figure it out. Right. There's always the extreme sports type. So, you know, they're in like a nice car or an SUV. It's like sporty, but they got like a snowboard or like a surfboard. They're either going north or south on Thanksgiving. They're going one or the other to do sports. And you think to yourself, wow, I guess they just don't have to do stuffing with the family. Like, they must live a very different lifestyle than me.
No, well, that's because like Thanksgiving on like surfing on Thanksgiving is cool, you know?
I guess.
Right.
Well, that person's just cooler than me.
My favorite is board family, which is also my family.
Yeah.
So my family, board family, dad is just driving with his glazed look in his eye, like staring out the front
window. 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah. Mom is in the passenger seat. Her head is buried in her iPhone, not paying any attention. Then the over 18 in the back's got the headphones on. And he's kind of just staring out the window.
Yeah.
Toddler's got the iPad in the baby's hand.
That's pretty much every car you're going to see.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
a
thinking.
Lot of them. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You see people doing questionable things all the time. And even though you don't know anything about them, you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. And that is your chance to share it right now. 1-800-330-9999.
I'm just trying to be preemptive here right now, Anna. Mm-hmm. If you park in the neighbor's driveway or block the neighbor's driveway without permission on Thanksgiving,
okay. That's
all I need to know about you.
Why are you so neurotic about this?
Listen, I grew up in a townhouse complex. All right. So, you know, there was plenty of people in our driveways were right next to each other. Everybody had a car port, but you know, the driveways were next to each other, and this is a thing. So people would always be parking in other people's driveway. They'd be like, oh, I think I can get away with it. I've visited over at my grandmother and grandfather's, and same thing. They got a townhouse community, and you know, every space in the parking lot is marked with some letter or something like that.
Yeah,
you don't know how it corresponds. What do we do on the holidays? We all just park. Because the drive over has already been hell. All right. And then we hop out and we figure, well, if somebody knocks on the door, we'll deal with it then. Grandma and grandpa will have to sort it out with their neighbor. And that ain't cool.
That's my favorite conversation with my family. It's like, Mikey, you got to move your car.
Yeah. Right. You know what I mean? And it's like eight different. And then it's domino effect. Right. Yeah. Like if there's one car stocked in the wrong spot, you know, next to all the others, it piles up and just, you know, it's a pain. So.
Laura, you got to move your car, too.
Yeah, why is that guy blocking 2 feet of my driveway? Like, how am I supposed to get out of there? And every Lincoln and Cadillac comes out during this time of year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, every long car you can find.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
Well, if you're hammered before dinner, that's all I need to know.
Oh, there's always that drunk uncle or that drunk somebody there that has too much and they're so loud.
It only works if it's your house. It's still embarrassing,
exactly.
But I mean, it works.
No, that's even worse. You know, I have a no drinking on holidays rule, and it's not because of like getting hammered or embarrassing myself. It's because it slows down my eating.
Oh.
And I don't want anything to get in the way.
Maximum efficiency.
Yeah, because like first you start with the eggnog, which is a solid 800 calories. Then you have the 2 glasses of wine while you're having a little piece of prosciutto and a little bit of bread, right?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're full and you haven't even gotten to like the appetizers, the real stuff. Forget getting to the stuffing. That's why no alcohol.
That's bad planning. You're right.
Yeah.
You might be right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you've taken the football game way too seriously and turned the volume up on the TV all the way up, that's all I need to know about you.
I always think it's rude when people touch the remote control and it's not their house.
Exactly.
That's a little weird.
The gall.
Yeah.
The gall.
And there's nothing interesting coming out during a sporting broadcast anyways. Like, I mean, you can see the action. You don't need to hear the words. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're watching NASCAR or football. Basically, the volume is the same.
Exactly.
The same nonsense word salad that they keep going for 3 to 4 hours. Like, it's just somebody's opinion rambling the entire time.
Well, you know what infuriates my husband? Because I never understand why some people get so worked up about the games. Like, like when he's like getting all mad because whatever the Giants are losing now at this point, I always just remind him, are they going to pay our mortgage this month?
Oh,
I was just about to say that. Like, y'all not getting paid, so why are y'all worried about
it?
Oh, but that seems hurtful, though. You guys have both gone too far now. Yeah, I was with you, and now I've somewhere along this road that we've arrived at, I got off with the guys.
That's it. Went south. I understand.
You know who's also no good? The guy who takes the touch football game with the family too serious.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because then they're shoving people over. Oh, I touched you. Yeah, man, I broke my collarbone.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Need your thoughts on this. 1-800-330-9999. So Hayden, my older daughter, is going to be 13 soon. So she's like a big girl. She's a big girl now. And she's the oldest of all her cousins, all that. You know, she's kind of she was the first grandchild. And as we head into Thanksgiving and the holiday season, I'm wondering, is she old enough to graduate from the kids' table to the grown-up table?
Yeah, the kids' table is like a perplexing thing, right? Because when you're the oldest, it's not really cool anymore. When you're the youngest, it's not too bad.
Because, you got all your cousins there.
You're hanging out. You're having a good time. And when, you know, you're still all basically pretty young. But when you're 13 and all of a sudden you feel like your conversations are so much more grown than the rest of your little cousins.
Right.
Then it's not cool anymore to sit at the table. I remember that.
Yeah. So I remember, like, growing up, especially at my grandparents' house, is that there was always the adult table. And then there was, we called it the cousins' table because we were just all cousins, you know, like my brother, my sister, my cousins. And I remember that it was like, we couldn't wait. We couldn't wait till we were old enough to sit at the grown-up table, right? Mm-hmm. Well, little did we know we were never going to because there was never any room. And as we got older and like got engaged and married and all of our significant others started coming, our table just got bigger. It was just
it was a larger table, but it was still in the other room.
It was still the kids' table, but it was double the size of the adult table.
Pretty similar at my grandparents' houses. Like, you know, once they downsized out of their big house and they were in like a townhouse, it still had to go on at their house. So the only problem, the difference between my setup and yours is that we were all in the same room. It was like a grand room, but our table was like 6 inches shorter and the chairs were fold out style.
Everybody know the kids' table has the folding chairs, 100%.
And I don't care how old you are. If you sit on a metal chair long enough, your butt doesn't feel right.
Yes.
Okay? It doesn't matter.
I remember we still have New Year's Eve at my grandparents' house, too. And I remember there's always the thing about the champagne. And I remember we were like 23.
Yeah.
And we had to explain to them, we are old enough to drink now. Just because we're at the kids' table doesn't mean we can't have the champagne anymore.
Your knees hit the bottom of the table, right? And you got one of those paper tablecloths on there. Like, what? Come on.
1-800-330-9999. What do you remember about the kids' table? Is there rules of the kids' table? Hi, Anna and Raven.
My kids' table story is that my aunt made me carry the tray of rolls, like, over to our table for me and my cousins. And I, like, tripped and kind of dropped them all over the floor. And everybody was, you know, like, bummed because kids like rolls. And that was the birth of my nickname, Messy Jessie.
Oh, that's wrong.
It's brutal.
What's wrong having to live with that? Here's the thing, though. Thanksgiving, everybody's busy and talking, too. I would have had them rolls right back up on the tray.
And not for nothing. If rolls fall on the floor, it's not like you dropped, like, I don't know, like mashed potatoes on the floor. You just eat it.
Something that's absorbent.
Right. It's a big deal.
Pretty much anything that has some sort of solid surface area on the outside, I'm scooping it back up and I'm putting it in my mouth.
100%. Yeah. Like, no one's going to argue with you
as long as
that.
It's not porous, like mashed potatoes.
Well, if it happens again, that's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not jelly. Or, like, you know what I mean? It's something porous, Anna.
Mm. Messy Jesse at the kids' table.
Even corn has a shell.
Oh, It's funny how when you're really little, you dream about the day that you don't have to sit at the kids' table anymore on the holidays and that you get to graduate to the big adult table. Mm-hmm. But then as you get older, you kind of love the kids' table because that's where it's at. That's where the fun is.
Well, the serious conversation happens at the adult table. And frankly, a lot of times it's boring. Right?
True.
Or there's some sort of conflict or whatever. I mean, especially over the last couple of years. Who wants to deal with that? Can I just go do that?
Like, do you want to go make some arts and crafts?
Can I just go hang out over here? What's wrong with that?
What's your kids' table story? You can call 1-800-330-9999. This comes up because my daughter is 13. She's going to be 13. And I'm like, is it time for me? And she's the oldest. She's the oldest cousin, the first granddaughter, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, is it time for her to move up to the big table? I mean, all her cousins, they're so little, you know? Like,
yeah. There's nothing more awkward than when there's just not enough space for adults either, too, because then it's like draw straws. You're figuring out who you're going to expel from the adult table when they get there. And the person who's going to be sitting at the kid table, they never know it's going to be them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the look of shame as they're regarded back to that table there.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your kids' table story?
Well, when I was a freshman in college and I was went back home and I brought my girlfriend over to a family dinner, they made us sit at the kids' table, even though we were like 10 years older than everyone else. And my parents thought, no, that's where you're going to sit. And it was very, very strange way to introduce my girlfriend to my family.
And you're trying to be big man on campus. Like, this is my girlfriend. I'm a big boy now. They sit you right next to your 7-year-old cousin, Timmy.
Your mom is so mad that you brought home this girl.
Right. Where's her family?
Right.
Why can't she be with them?
You're sitting at the card table until the student loans are paid off now.
Plastic forks.
Yeah, I'm never gonna pay those off. But no, I'm just glad she didn't like take a napkin and like, you know, put it in my shirt or anything like that and didn't go that far. But but still, yeah, it was pretty awkward.
Well, that's just good planning, the napkin. I mean, let's not hate on everything.
Right.
Then some things are just practical.
Then there was going to be arts and crafts at the kids' table. You're going to, like, draw the outline of your hand.
This
make
actually
it into
sounds
a
like a really fun Thanksgiving.
I kind of wish I was at the kids' table.
What's wrong with this?
Yeah,
right. What is wrong with that
there
at all?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your kids' table story?
So I would always be the terrible one, punching on my cousins and everything. So every reunion, they would always make me sit at the adult table, not at the kids' table.
Oh, because you're the troublemaker. You're the one causing all the trouble.
Got to keep my eyes on you.
Right.
Yep, I know that. I know that feeling.
Exactly.
That happened to me a few times, I think, back in the day.
Joe, my brother was the troublemaker, and my cousin Tony were the troublemakers. And if you left the two of them together,
oh boy,
it was definitely double trouble. And they always had one eye on both of them. Or me and my cousin Angela were always the older cousins.
Mm.
And we would be in charge of watching them to make sure they didn't do anything dumb at the kids' table. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your kids' table story?
Well, I actually still sit at the kids' table because I'm not married. And, you know, the thing in my family is if you're not married, you can't sit at the grown folks' table. So I'm just the fun uncle eating the sides with the kids.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Mom and Big Mama got rules, huh?
That's so funny.
Got rules.
Yeah, got rules.
Not letting up.
How old are you? I'm sorry. Do you mind?
No, I'm 33.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Is it at your mother's house or your grandmother's house?
Oh, it's my grandmother's house.
Yeah, Big Mama's house.
Right.
The Big Mama house rules, and they don't bend.
Right.
Oh, they never bend.
She's like, bring home somebody, and then you don't have to sit
with
all the 3-year-olds.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great. And she's going to tell you on Thursday.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. So the American Farm Bureau released its annual stats on how much Thanksgiving costs per family, and it's up 14% from last year, which makes sense because every time you pick up something in a grocery store lately, you're like, wait a minute. Why is this so much money? It's not in your head. It's real.
Yeah, just about everything that's out there is up, of course. Now, there's all sorts of different Thanksgiving meals and platters and setups, Anna. I mean, you go to some parties and it's incredibly elaborate, right? We're doing turkey, we're doing lasagna, we're doing ham. You go to others and it's a smaller affair and you only need a few things to bring together a great holiday.
So how can you do Thanksgiving and be frugal at the same time? Chef Plum from the Food Network, you can follow him online on Instagram at chef_plum or at chefplum.com. Plum, so how do you avoid all these expensive items that you're seeing in the stores and still make your Thanksgiving awesome?
Well, you know, Raven said something really interesting there, which I think is pretty cool. You'll find a lot of people now actually doing that lasagna, those pasta dishes for Thanksgiving dinner, which I think is a pretty cool idea. I mean, let's be honest. How often are we like, God, you know what I'd love to make for dinner tonight? A nice roast turkey.
Never.
No one ever says that.
No one
says that.
You're a hater.
Nobody wants that. So maybe changing it up a little bit and doing that wonderful Italian-American style Thanksgiving is a lot cheaper because pasta is not that expensive right now. But you're right. The cost of things has gone up tremendously, whether it's through a lack of labor or supply chain issues. So we got to figure out ways to save some money. What can we do differently here? How can we make it still a wonderful Thanksgiving? Well, a couple things you could do. Maybe skip the turkey altogether. Do some roast chickens. You can still roast a chicken, get great gravy on the side, and the cost is probably going to be half the cost of a turkey. Put a little love on it. That's all you got to do. I mean, I don't have any problem having like a nice, beautiful roast chicken meal with Thanksgiving. It's kind of the same thing anyway. Cooks the exact same way, a lot faster, and tastes way better. If you've got your heart set on the turkey, you can buy just a split turkey breast for a lot cheaper. The chef in me doesn't ever want to say this, but you can also save some money by using a little canned vegetables or frozen vegetables. I don't like this, but fresh vegetables are more expensive. And I'll tell you what, a lot of these companies now, they're picking them fresh and flash freezing them immediately. So they're actually pretty ripe and pretty delicious when you get them. We tend to go overboard at Thanksgiving. Like, we want to make this bountiful food. We make 48 pounds of mashed potatoes for all six of us.
Right.
And no, you don't need to do that. Cut it back a little bit. You don't have to make tons and tons and 15 different portions and casserole dishes. You don't need to do all that. And then the other thing you think of too, cut down the side dishes a little bit. So just pick two or three, four, and make that your side dishes and focus on dessert there. And finally, one of the things I think is great, and I do a lot of this in my family, casseroles. Don't sleep on the casserole. Let me tell you something now. The power of a delicious casserole goes a long way, and that's something that people talk about all the time. Here's the good part about it too, Anna. Someone like you, you could make a casserole anything you want, call it anything you want, put anything you want in there, and no one could tell you you're wrong.
Wow.
What's your favorite side?
I was just right there. So it's side dish.
Non-negotiable.
Side dish Survivor Island.
Yeah.
All right. You get two sides. Those are the only two that are going to survive your Thanksgiving. What are your one and your two for side dishes? What's going to be on your table, Chef Plum?
All right. I just have to ask one of the rules. Does gravy count as a side?
No. No. Gravy is a garnish. Mm-hmm.
Then give me stuffing. I love stuffing. It's delicious, and I love making different types of it. And give me sweet potatoes, because I think sweet potatoes are a gift from far beyond.
I agree. Those are my top two, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
looks like neither of you will be winning this competition, because you refuse to vote each other off the island.
Well, it's because you like green bean casserole, which everybody knows is a fake dish for
everybody
ornamental
knows.
Purposes only.
I'm riding that to the championship on Side Dish Island.
Side Dish Island. This sounds great. I think we could pitch this.
I'm going to look so good in a bathing suit.
Chef Plum from the Food Network. Follow him on Instagram, chef_Plum. Raven and I were both at Costco over the weekend, and we both realized the exact same thing. We were trying to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting crazy already, Anna. Uh-huh.
Yep. It was absolutely insane. And I remember at one point, the way my Costco does it is they make you do this one long line. And then the person at the front that works at Costco assigns you to which aisle you go in to check out. So there was a line cutter, somebody that thought that they could go around the line, go around the backside and go like into a shorter line on the side.
Is there anything more frustrating than that?
No. But my husband said to me, he's like, that guy just cut us. Should I say something? I said, no, Paul. Because that guy will punch you dead in your face, because everybody knows that Costco people are the most confrontational people in the world. You've seen it all over the news over the last year and a half.
Yeah, it's true that people do get crazy, especially, I mean, this time of year, any shopping experience. But at Costco, it seems like the more nutty people come out of Costco than anywhere else. And I love Costco.
Oh, me too.
I do.
Yeah. Paul loves it too much. Like on his lunch hour, like if he's working from home, I'd be like, what'd you do today? He's like, I went to Costco. I'm like, what? And he's like, just to walk around. What? He's such a weirdo like that.
My wife, the card is in my wife's name, yeah. And I don't have one of the super ones, so I can only go with my wife, so that keeps me from doing that, right?
So we're trying to figure out, what are the rules of Costco shopping during this time of year? Because let's be honest, this is when it's the nuttiest time of year.
Yeah, the thing about Costco, too, is like they have some really great items that are in there, but the truth is that a lot of times they're special just for Costco, and it's a limited run. So, you know, you're going to see it at that moment. So you've got to be prepared to get these items then,
yes.
And then, you know, deal with the consequences later. The biggest part for me lately with Costco is just getting in there.
Uh-huh.
Like pulling into the parking lot itself,
yeah.
At my Costco, the way it's split, you can either take a left and cut through the middle of the parking lot, or you can go down straight and then you have to cut across the front of the parking lot. Both of them are traps, because if you go left into the middle of the parking, the gas station blocks you. If you go down to the front, nobody moves.
Rebecca wrote on our Facebook page, the worst thing about Costco is the parking lot, a giant obstacle course with people, carts, cars popping from every direction. The best thing you could do, and I agree with this 100%, is park in the furthest spot.
That's what I do. I go around the back and I park on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always do that.
I think one of the rules is avoid the center aisle, because that's where people are out for blood. Like, do you ever notice, like, in the center of Costco is where everybody funnels and everybody looks really frustrated? If you use, like, the side aisles, you got a much better chance of living.
Well, I mean, at least being able to run down that space, right? Cover some ground, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Be prepared to separate. Like, you have to be prepared. I mean, I know you love each other. You're married. You came together. You're living together. But, you know, and you're going to leave the store together. But you got to be prepared to unshackle and go. And you got to be able to do it with, like, the quickest glance. Like, you know, you shoot each other a look and you separate and one person grabs the toy that's on the shelf.
It's true. Don wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, go with someone else so they can grab the stuff while you stay with the cart.
Yeah.
It's like a team sport going to Costco.
And especially, like, when, you know, you've got a purse. Like, either leave that purse at home or go lightweight. Man, yeah. Because it's going to be rough.
I say always steer clear of the elderly, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, but they will run you over. They will take food samples out of your hand. It's like they get aggressive, and I just want to be very respectful at all times, but one of them went over Hayden's foot, my older daughter's, the other day. She gave me a look. I go, bite your tongue, girl. You bite your tongue.
Right.
You let her run right over you.
Wow.
She's like 85.
Nobody looks good pushing her down on a concrete floor.
Absolutely not. What happens when you ask a bunch of kids why we celebrate Thanksgiving? It's exactly what we had producer John do. Ready, Riven?
Yeah. You know what I love about kids is no filter, of course.
Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving?
We celebrate Thanksgiving to honor the pilgrims and finding the new land and celebrate thanks.
Here's the thing. She is so confident that anything she said, I would have believed.
That's the key to a lie at any time is to just say it as quickly as possible.
And as
to
clearly,
say it,
loudly.
Don't act like you have any shake in you whatsoever.
I think she's right, right?
Ariana, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving?
It's kind of for like the Native Americans and the people who came from there to the other place and all that.
Yeah. He trails off as he loses confidence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. Me too. It's just if you're at karaoke and somebody's like, yeah, don't stop. They don't know the last word.
Yeah, you just kind of fade off.
The people who came from there to the other place and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? He's not sure which way to feel about it because, you know, as we get closer to Thanksgiving, the things that we're celebrating are different.
Yeah.
Why do we celebrate Thanksgiving?
Because we celebrate chickens.
I guess.
Yes.
I mean, we do. Chickens, they do get a pass on Thanksgiving, right?
I mean, I guess that's true, right? I mean, unless we're going for, you know, that everybody gets their own chicken thing, which also sounds like a great Thanksgiving.
Because we celebrate chickens.
I love that little voice.
So why do we celebrate Thanksgiving?
You eat the turkey.
I mean, that's... I like that because it's a diversion.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't actually know the answer, but I'm going to tell you exactly what we do.
Yeah, if you're a chicken, you're stoked.
You're good, right?
It's a cultural thing, and the pilgrims invented it, so they celebrate it.
It's a culture thing. That's a great statement to hide behind nowadays. That means you don't understand
it. It's a cultural thing.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because we like Thanksgiving.
We do like Thanksgiving. You're 100% right.
You're right, kid.
Yeah.
Why do you think we started celebrating Thanksgiving?
Because we love it.
There's always that kid that thinks everything he says is hilarious, right?
Because we love it.
I love that kid. I want to be that kid. My favorite thing on Thanksgiving, you can get rid of everything else, but I want to shove handfuls of sausage stuffing down my throat. But it can't be the one that's cooked inside the bird. It's got to be the one that's cooked separately.
Let me make sure that I've got this straight here. So stuffing with the sausage, that's still stuffing, right? That's not dressing? Because sometimes people call this stuff dressing.
Well, let's find out. Chef Plum from the Food Network. You can follow him online at chefplum.com. On Instagram, chef_Plum. Plum, is this stuffing or dressing, first of all?
I mean, if you're going to have your Thanksgiving, Anna, where you're shoving handfuls of stuffing down your throat.
It's a party.
Can someone take a picture?
Yeah, no.
Can
no,
we
that's,
just eat
that's,
that?
That's how my Thanksgiving goes down. I want it to be a party.
Right. stuffing or dressing. I was raised in Virginia, so for me, it's dressing. Stuffing is not something that we would make down south. But to me, dressing is on the side, never baked in the bird, where a stuffing is just that, stuffed inside of your bird. Never put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to hate that I said that, but it's the truth. Don't do it. It'll make your turkey take so long. If you think about it, when you were a kid, you're having Thanksgiving, your mom would get up at 5 a.m. to put that turkey in the oven. That's just crazy talk. A At 350 degrees, the turkey should take 12 to 13 minutes per pound at 350 to reach 165 degrees. But if you put that stuffing in there, you're now making it more dense, so it takes even longer, which is why mom, when we were younger, would put that turkey in at 5 a.m. and then stress when it wasn't ready by 4.
Hmm. Had no idea. I didn't care about my mom's feelings, though, or her schedule. I just want to make sure that I've got that taste. And you're telling me I can have good tasting dressing, as you crazy person call it, or stuffing on the side, even if it's not cooked in the bird?
Oh, 100%. Listen, you make that stuff on the side, make it a family affair. It's really, really simple. It's one of those side dishes I think we should serve more often. Some of my favorite stuffings or dressings to make, I make a delicious andouille sausage Cajun stuffing where I make my typical mirepoix, carrots, onion, and celery. You know, I usually use baguette or sometimes brioche or even cornbread, and we tear it up and put it into a big pan, saute off my carrots, onions, and celery with some andouille sausage, some peppers, and I throw it all in that big pan of bread, add that jus to it from the turkey or add that turkey stock to it, toss it up. Sometimes I'll even whip up one egg and kind of mix that in there as well.
Shush.
Bake it in the oven. It's fantastic. The cool part about stuffing is it's all done basically the same way. Like, it's all basically bread and mirepoix. Anything else you put on top of it is just like putting gravy on your turkey. It's extra. It's delicious. Another great one I love to make is a dried fruit and chestnut stuffing. And you make it the exact same way as the other stuffing I just said. You're just going to use dried fruit and some delicious chestnut.
Mirepoix.
Don't punk out no mirepoix. Dried fruit. No.
Right.
Well, don't think the dried fruit is a buster.
Don't even think about it. What's up with the oyster dressing?
What we traditionally think of Thanksgiving is not actually what happened as far as the food goes. There was a lot of venison, there was goose, root vegetables, but also a lot of seafood because it was on the shoreline. It's also a great thing a lot of people make because it's an inexpensive protein. Some of the first American, like, Thanksgiving celebrations, that's what they ate because the proximity to the ocean, there's a lot of shellfish, a lot of bass, a lot of eel, that sort of stuff goes in there. So an oyster stuffing is not that weird. It's delicious. And again, all you got to do to make that is very, very similar to making any other stuffing. It's bread-based, so you get a nice baguette, tear it up into small pieces, and you're going to sauté down what's called mirepoix. Again, that mirepoix is celery, onion, and carrots. You're going to sauté that down. You're going to throw some beautiful fresh herbs in there, some sage, some thyme, a little rosemary. There's some really, really nice containers of oysters you can get that are pretty fresh, and they have their liquor in there with them, which is what they call it. And take that mixture we just made, put those oysters in there, toss it all up, put sausage in there as well if you want, but bake it in the oven. Let me tell you something, it's delicious, and it's a little taste of what they did on the first Thanksgiving.
Chef Plum from the Food Network. You can follow him online at chefplum.com or on Instagram as chef_plum. Thank you, Plum. Seemed like an easy enough task, I thought. I don't know. Maybe I was wrong.
I mean, not as a songwriter, but given the fact that we've seen his body of work before and he's been able to turn around some quick songs here. Mm-hmm. John, Anna tells me that you have written the most depressing Thanksgiving song she's ever heard in her life.
I think that the first half is very nice and very upbeat and exactly what you asked for.
Okay. All right. So obviously when it comes to
the first half.
Yeah.
And then what happens? The first half, the intermission sounds like dinner. What happens at dessert?
Maybe. Well, you're going to hear it in a minute. When it comes to Thanksgiving songs, there's only really one that you probably know.
Mm-hmm. Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe.
I mean, Adam Sandler cornered the market.
That's it.
I mean, think about every year. Mm-hmm. He's probably still going to the mailbox, right?
And getting
that
check.
Thanksgiving song check.
And for what?
Right?
For what? That song is low-hanging fruit.
Stop.
I'm not a fan.
Don't be a hater.
I'm not a fan.
Don't be a hater, man.
So we said we have a songwriter here. Producer John writes incredible songs. He's got a guitar. He plays in bands, all that. We're like, John, just do us a favor. Write us a Thanksgiving hit so we can make some money too, right? It seemed like such an easy task.
So easy.
We had one prerequisite, John, and it was that make it about food. Because people love food. Mm-hmm. And if you have a joyful, happy Thanksgiving song about food that's catchy, people will sing it, right?
Seems like a gimme on Thanksgiving. You know, do we need to hear anything from him? I just want to hear the song, right?
No, I'm going
to
play the song. I did not let Raven listen to it.
Okay, great. Okay. Here we go.
Mama made the turkey. It's good to eat. Grandma's pumpkin pie is nice and sweet. The family's all together and we're ready for treats. It's time to say bon appetit. We gotta gobble it up. Yeah, yeah, we gotta gobble it up. Yeah, yeah. Well, your Uncle Dave has had a tough year. recently divorced and drinking too much beer. He baked a tuna casserole, he's bringing it here. Hey, no, he's trying his best. His dad's just having a tough time right now. I guess we gotta gobble it up. Yeah, we gotta gobble it up. Yeah.
I mean, gosh,
it's
everything
you want, David.
You know, I mean, Anna, is it just a little too real? Is it what's going on with that second verse? Is that second verse a little too real? Because here's the thing. What was the uncle's name?
Dave.
Uncle Dave is definitely driving either a Charger, a Camaro, or like a Challenger.
And he's
like,
listening to Motley Crue.
That's what's going on at 30% of Thanksgiving houses.
It was real. It was honest. It was real life.
I mean, we were doing so well. At the beginning, my biggest complaint, I started listening to it, and I'm like, John, you kind of ripped off Adam Sandler. This sounds just like the Thanksgiving song.
Oh, no. And then he got real.
I go, I don't know what's worse. But all of a sudden, he decided that he was going to take this song into a really dark Thanksgiving corner.
That's right. Because you know what? Sandler decided to be a hack about it, and I brought real life into this equation.
It was so visual to me that in my mind, I could actually see it as a holiday movie.
Go try again. Tomorrow you're going to write another song, and it's going to be joyful and happy, and the people are going to love it.
Oh,
go do it again.
We're going to cry.
No. Awesome.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Nathan and Stephanie. Stephanie, what's going on?
We're hosting Thanksgiving this year. And I really kind of miss the times that we all kind of talked as a family. We're getting together with some extended family, some nieces and nephews, cousins we haven't seen in like forever. I decided that I think that all cell phones should be off the table and that all TV should be off. So, you know, again, we could just have a conversation with each other and actually like see each other.
Are you, I mean, no football, no football whatsoever?
No, I mean, not for the time we're having dinner. I mean, maybe later, but I just don't think it's right for Thanksgiving dinner when, you know, we just haven't seen each other for so long. And I really miss the times that we used to play board games and just kind of hang out. And we don't do that anymore.
Nathan, why would you be opposed to this? It sounds really nice.
Because we have electricity.
What?
Yeah.
You can't live without watching football for an hour while you're eating a piece of turkey?
It's, you know, it's not just about that. It's, you know, we've got a bunch of teenagers that are going to be there. Those kids, they don't know how to communicate without their cell phones and everything else. You can't just tell them that we're going to take everything away and turn it all off. Like, it's supposed to be fun for everybody, not just for her. And if that's how they choose to have fun with their devices and everything else, why not? You know, it's enough that we're together. We'll still talk. We'll still have the family experience. I don't see why we need to pull our phones and unplug the TV. Like, it's just ridiculous.
You know what? I'm sure it's different when you have kids of your own. You guys have kids, so, you know, they're hanging out with the other teenagers. But if I was just the aunt or uncle and we were hosting and we had teenagers there, I'd be afraid to impose the rule. Because next year they'd be like, oh, I'm not going over there. No way. They're my least favorite aunt and uncle, and I always want to win. That's where I'm at.
I am the favorite aunt. Well, I tell myself that all the time. I'm not sure if it's true or not. And I would have no problem saying to them, guys, we're going to do things that are really fun. We're going to put our phones away.
Oh, my gosh.
I would. I would have no problem saying that.
Okay.
Now, for me to actually put my phone away, that's a different story.
Best of luck.
I mean, I'm curious. What happens at your house on Thanksgiving? Do you allow the TV to be on while you're eating? Do you allow phones at the table? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Nathan and Stephanie are hosting Thanksgiving at their house. And Stephanie says, like, she misses the time where they would all sit down and play board games. And she wants to do this no phone, no TV Thanksgiving. But Nathan's like, wait, they're teenagers. They're going to freak out. And I want to watch the games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's really nice to think about the times of yesterday and the things that you enjoyed about growing up. The truth is maybe not everybody enjoys those things. However, sometimes it's good to force the hand. People might not realize that it could be fun to play some board games, right? We always play games on the holidays at my house.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Well, I'm on the side of no phones at dinner time. Forget Thanksgiving. We don't allow phones at the dinner table, out at a restaurant, no phones at all while having dinner. No television either. Absolutely not.
So no Thanksgiving television with the football game going on there? That works?
No, not during the meal. Oh. Not during the meal. Football game on while cooking or you know, and afterwards, but not during the meal.
I agree with that.
Thank you for the call. What if it's a really good game?
Well, then, like, you'll catch up with what happens. It's
oh,
fine.
No.
All touchdowns look relatively the same.
Crazy, but kind of true.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. You know, they're hosting Thanksgiving at their house, Nathan and Stephanie. And Stephanie says, like, the kids are older now. They're teenagers. All they do is have their heads buried in their phones. The guys, all they're doing is watching the game on TV. She misses them just hanging out and playing board games and doing that. So she wants to impose a no electronics Thanksgiving.
How about
no
be
phones,
more
no
interesting,
TV.
Stephanie?
Oh, you're so mad.
How
about
be more interesting?
So
no, I'm just kidding. Listen, I just think that it's hard to manage a whole lot of people around you. I mean, if you're doing it, no phones, no technology during just the meal, then that's one thing, right? That's easier to pull it off. But if you think you're going to do that all afternoon long, man, you better have some real good board games.
What do you think? What would you do? Do you think it's such a big deal that she wants to ban it altogether and just spend some time with the big family? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
Oh, good morning. I am definitely on the wife's side. Because she's great. Family time should be family time. I mean, we do that on Thanksgiving and Christmas every year. When you see the kids on their phones or on their devices, we're like, Put them away, come to the table, put them away, because, you know, it's time for family and getting to know each other, especially if you haven't seen each other in a couple of years.
What is your favorite family game or holiday game?
Sorry.
That's all right. We do a grab bag, and, like, so then we have to open the gifts, Anna, with the oven mitts. So we put the oven mitts on. And the first person who gets the gift open gets to keep it.
That's
obviously
really fun.
Yeah. It's actually really hard to open a gift with oven mitts, by the way.
We play tombola, which is the Italian version of bingo, but it's tombola.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom is always the bingo caller.
Yeah.
And then, like, whenever she pulls special numbers, like if she pulls number 25 for, like, Christmas Day, she says, Natale!
And what do you win?
Money.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that. It's like going to the sports book.
Yeah.
I love it.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I am actually, there are never phones allowed at my table, ever, never. So on a big, big meal, like Thanksgiving, no phones, no television. But I mean, how long does the meal last? 15 minutes? Then go back to your phones and your television.
Wait, 15 minutes, a Thanksgiving meal? Like, no. 15 minutes is round one. I got to breathe it out after 15 minutes so I can fit another helping.
Yeah, that's true. But still.
Exactly. But then go watch the game and do your devices and then come back for round two.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Stephanie, your audience agreed with you. It's not a big deal. It's a couple hours without the TV, a couple hours of electronics. Talk to each other. It'll be nice. It'll be fun. I can't believe that this has to be an argument at this point.
Oh, thanks, guys. I'm psyched. I get all these games lined up. We're going to have a Monopoly tournament and maybe some Scrabble and some Uno, and I just can't wait.
I mean, I guess I got to take and go with it, but good luck finding willing participants. You might just have people sitting there staring at each other. No one's going to want to play Monopoly for 7 hours after they've stuffed their faces full of turkey, but whatever, that's how it goes.
Your brother will be looking for the paper and be like, I'm thinking about going Black Friday shopping. Whatever it takes to get out of this place.
Exactly.
Well, have a great holiday, guys. Enjoy one way or the other.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Gary, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Gary.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Gary, jackpot is $1,200. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in. Same questions to Raven. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Number one, a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is streaming on Apple Plus. What is the name of the Charlie Brown Peanuts character who often walks around with a security blanket?
Linus.
Number two, Simpson fans were rejoicing after the show gave its character Waylon Smithers his own love story. What character is Smithers the personal assistant for?
Mr. Burns.
Number three, Taylor Swift's new version of All Too Well is now the longest number one song ever. The previous record was Don McLean's American Pie, which is 8 minutes and 37 seconds. How long is the new All Too Well song?
Ooh, the new All Too Well.
Time's up. Number four, Kevin Spacey has been ordered to pay $31 million to House of Cards Studio after allegations of misconduct. He was fired in 2017. What was his character's job on House of Cards?
I don't know.
At number five, Dancing with the Stars crowned a winner last night. No spoilers here, though, because if you haven't watched it yet, I'm not going to ruin it for you. But who hosted it this season?
I don't know.
Let me bring Raven back in, Gary.
Yo.
Right.
Gary got 2 out of 5.
Not too good, Gary. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is streaming on Apple Plus. What is the name of the Charlie Brown Peanuts character who often walks around with a security blanket?
That's Linus.
Yes. Number two, Simpsons fans are rejoicing after the character after the show gave its character Waylon Smithers his own love story.
Oh, finally.
I know. What character is Smithers the personal assistant for?
Mr. Burns.
Yes. Number three, Taylor Swift's new version of All Too Well is now the longest number one song ever.
Oh.
The previous record holder was Don McLean's American Pie, which is 8 minutes and 37 seconds.
Okay.
How long is the new All Too Well song?
It's either 10 minutes or 12 minutes. I'm just going to say 12 minutes.
No, it's 10 minutes.
Ah!
Number four, Kevin Spacey has been ordered to pay $31 million to House of Cards Studios after the allegations of misconduct. He was fired back in 2017.
Okay.
What was his character's job on House of Cards?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I never watched it. President?
He was president.
Yes!
And number five...
Was he president of, like, America?
America, yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The United States of America, yes. Number five, Dancing with the Stars crowned a winner last night. No spoilers, because I don't want to get all the hate emails. But who hosted it this season?
Wasn't it Tyra Banks?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, he beat you 4-2 this morning. We will hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, thank you. My name is Gary, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that free shirt, bro.
Another $100 in the jackpot. Tomorrow, you have your chance at $1,300.